Hello and welcome to Thrive in Your Body, Life and Business, the podcast. I'm Amy Hayes and today we are lucky enough to have a very special client of mine and guest on to talk about all things woman health and hormones, particularly stress management, cortisol, weight gain, postpartum, perimenopause, all of the juicy topics that I know most women want to know about, with some awesome tangible tips in here for you as well. Michelle is a functional clinical nutritionist for women's health and hormones, particularly period problems, postpartum and perimenopause. She is so clever and has the world of knowledge around all things women's health, and I just cannot wait to share her knowledge with you. Please do make sure you leave us a comment, a question, share out your takeaways. We would love to hear from you and enjoy today's episode. Yay. Hello, Michelle. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast today. On my podcast is all about thriving in your body, in your mind, and in your business, in life in general. And it's a really big topic for me at the moment and for a lot of my clients and people my age, now that I'm over 40, to be focusing on nutrition, hormonal health, premenopause, perimenopause. So I'm so happy to have you on here today. Michelle is a functional clinical nutritionist for women's health and hormones, particularly period problems, postpartum and perimenopause, but I'm sure there's so much more to this. Hormonal health, so important. I can't wait to dive in to this podcast with you. But can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all, what you do, where you're from, all of the things?
Yeah, thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me on the podcast. I'm Michelle. I am Irish, but I live in the Wairarapa in New Zealand with my two-year-old and my husband and my dog Nala on a farm. So I did give my husband a little warning, if you could stop chainsawing because I'm doing a podcast. And he was like, "You're doing a what now?" I was like, "Yeah, just stop the give chainsaw. Me an hour." Yeah.
Excellent. That sounds good. I've got my little seven-year-old next door and I've said the same thing to her. I'm doing a podcast. Don't come in. How good. Yeah. Family life on a farm. I love that so much. And so you're working in the online space now?
Yes. So I'm a functional clinical nutritionist, especially in the women's health space. But I am a dentist as well. So had a bit of a career change. Still within, you know, people, they overlap quite a lot, actually. But I just wanted, it just was more applicable to me to like start treating things preventatively and looking at the body as a whole. Like in dentistry, you do learn about the body as a whole, but then you just focus on one area, which I think is a lot of medicine. You know, you have specialists focusing on one area, but the thing is, I've learned a lot through like holistic nutrition and functional medicine, and everything's connected. So you really can't be treating anything just looking at one part. Like everything is connected. I love learning about all of that and how our bodies kind of work, particularly women, because we are a lot more, people say, complicated.
Yeah.
When really we're just more fascinating. If you know, I think our bodies are the main bodies that should be studied, because our men's hormones or men's bodies are actually a little bit more simplified than our bodies.
I have heard that before, actually, on another podcast. And yeah, they did. They talked about that there's actually not that many studies on women because it's so hard at the different stages of our cycles and our hormones. But I know for me, with the women that I coach, it's just such a big topic. And people don't know about it. It's so complicated to learn about your hormones, and you don't think it's the actual effect of what's going on for you, whether it's your body composition, weight loss, feeling tired, all of that stuff. You don't actually connect it to hormones and you just go into other areas. But I think, like, if we're not looking at our hormonal health and our gut health, all the things you do, then that's where the core root of most problems that we have come from. So what would your
kind of overview for women's health. And I support holistic health as well, which is all areas. But what's your like overview of like hormonal and gut health and the role it plays for us as women?
Everything really, but add in like the mind as well is like a major one, because you could be doing all the right things. You could be eating green juices till the cows come home and doing all the right things. And if your mind isn't in the right place, that will throw everything off. So like I said, the whole body is connected. So although for marketing purposes, like you're my business coach as well, and like niche down, we do have to talk about one thing to kind of get people to realize that they may have a problem in that area. But then my job is to probably look at a lot of things and how they connect back to those problems, because it's never, hormones are always a symptom of something. Like they're almost never the root cause of your symptoms, but everyone likes to be like, oh, those pesky my hormones, but you know, they're against me. And when really they're actually trying to help you in a way, they're from other things that you're either doing in your lifestyle or other things going on your body. They try to adapt, and by adapting, sometimes it means all those things happen, like wonky periods and your hair falling out and acne on your skin, because it's trying to let you know there's a problem. It's not actually trying to ruin your life.
Oh, that's so interesting. And because people will blame not being able to lose weight on hormones. And I kind of agree in some sense, but for my own journey, for my age over 37, things did definitely change hormonally in my body, and things felt harder to feel good in my body, had the gradual weight gain, had the hair thinning, all of that stuff. But, and this is what I would say to my clients too, like do all the really healthy foundations first to try. We've got to undiet our mind. You have to do all the healthy, holistic health things first for quite a long period of time before diving into blaming hormones. And it's something I went through and clients go through. So what would you like recommend? And your recent reel that you did on Instagram was a really good kind of overview on how a lot of women feel. When would you test your hormones, or what would you recommend first? Like at what stage do you dive into your hormonal testing, at the start, or do you get your clients to do something else first and then dive into the testing?
Yeah, so like you said, it always comes back to basics. Like you want to take, there's things we know that help our health, and that's like blood sugar regulation, like eating enough whole foods, like a whole food diet, sleeping well, managing our stress, blood sugar regulation, all those basics, your gut health and your digestion, all those kind of have to be online first. Now, because hormonal testing is quite expensive, like you might not want to do it at the start, because doing some of those basic things might actually help your problems. But if you're a data person and you like to see the numbers, I think it's really shocking sometimes, or a real, not even shocking for clients, but like when they see the data, they're like, oh my God, my stress hormones, my sex hormones, they're in the toilet. Like they're just non-existent. And you can see where your levels are meant to be for, say, your age or where you're at in life and where they actually are. And then they see the gap, you know, of what needs to be done. So I think for people who struggle with that, like motivation or like the data, they can get them done from the start. Yes. But for other people who probably, if you don't want to spend a lot of money off the bat, we can definitely use your symptoms, your health history. Your body is telling us like a lot of things. Yeah. We don't necessarily need to test for that. We can use bloods that's been taken by your doctor and kind of go with those and try and improve how you feel, because it's not always about the results on the paper. It's actually, I like to teach my clients about how listening to their bodies. I think as women, our intuition can be really off when it comes to our bodies, because diet culture, society, everything give us so messages of how we're meant to feel, how we're meant to look. You know, I deal with postpartum clients and they feel like they're at death's door, and they go to the doctor and they say, oh, that's just because you had a baby, or perimenopause. Oh, that's just because you're perimenopause. It's like, I'm just meant to live like this.
Yeah.
You know, like that they have like zero energy, you know, depending what it is. Well, actually, some of the symptoms can overlap. You know, I say like hot flashes is associated with perimenopause.
Yeah.
But actually, if your hormones are all fluctuating in postpartum as well, you're also going to get, you get those night sweats, you get brain fog, like just extreme exhaustion. You get all the bugs and flus and everything. And if your periods are back, they're just all over the place and really interfere with your life.
Yeah.
And it's like, is that normal? Should that be normal?
Exactly. That's the thing, is a lot of people don't know. So after you do have a baby, if we're talking about postpartum, just a question that came to mind, what is the general time frame for your hormones to balance back out on their own? Or, you know, like, is there a time frame for that?
No.
It depends.
It's happening. I obviously have a lot of experience with that, with mums, you know, you know, there's what you call like the trenches, which can be like the first 3 months where it's just like, hopefully if you've done some prep, you know, you can kind of try and look after yourself as best as possible. It's just about, I just think mums need to really focus on, you know, there's a lot of help there for the baby. And yes, you want to look after your baby, but just don't neglect yourself. Manage all those things. Make and accept the help. Any help you're getting, any food, yes, please. Yes, please. It's not a time. Oh, no. Like, women are like, oh, no, that's fine.
Sorry about their bodies and their
weight. I'll do it myself. It's like, just let people do what they're doing. And create boundaries. Like, if you don't want people in the house, if that's what helps you, well, set those boundaries, you know, and look after yourself and hydrate and eat well and get as much sleep as you can, and, you know, the washing can wait, and don't feel the need to like bounce back. But people these days, especially with stress, with the stresses on ourselves, with maybe not enough time to recover afterwards. I think it's a very go, go, go society, and women, you know, they're kind of given this time frame and they feel like, well, I should be bouncing back now. I better get back to work, or I better start doing, like, rather than listening to their bodies. They end up really extending that postpartum depletion, lead to like long-term things. Like, the thyroid is something you should definitely get checked after you've any of those times of like big stresses and hormonal shifts, as in postpartum or perimenopause. Your thyroid is definitely something to get checked, but it's just a time your body is more vulnerable to things going wrong, so you need to give it extra TLC in order to heal. So depending on what what your health was like before getting pregnant, while you were pregnant, how traumatic was your birth? How did you look after yourself afterwards? Are you getting the nutrients that you need? Are you managing your stress? All that will depend, you know, sleep.
So what would for a new mom, and they're feeling tired and not so great in their body and all of that stuff, what are the top things, like really clear things you would give for advice, you know, like around nutrition, movement, mindset, stress management, like really tangible things someone could take away?
Number one, women, again, I don't know, it's like diet culture and how we've been told they tend to just not eat enough. So number one is eating enough food. There's a lot going on. If you're breastfeeding, all the energy it takes to actually recover, if you were sick during pregnancy, plus the toll of pregnancy, that puts your body, it needs more nutrients, it needs more fuel. And while it's healing, it needs more fuel. So just making sure you're eating enough protein, healthy fats, trying to cut out the processed foods and refined foods and get as much whole foods as possible. Remembering at least 3 square meals, but also snacks in between of either protein or fat, like healthy fats or your protein. You know, you could have like a Greek yogurt, chia seed pudding with some berries, or, you know, fairly like decent snacks in between as well.
Ones, yeah.
Hydration, not forgetting your hydration with like probably some electrolytes, managing your stress and prioritizing sleep. If you're not getting it at night, you know, prioritizing rest and sleep. And this is a common thing I see as well, is mums, they think exercise is good for you, which it is.
It is, yeah. But
exercise, you know, if your general rule is 10K steps a day and, you know, weight train 3 days a week and, you know, just get some walking or, you know, some cardio in like once a week or something like that, you know, that's for a healthy person, you yes. know, that's for... If your energy levels are so depleted, if your body is struggling, it doesn't have enough fuel, it doesn't have enough nutrients, really listening, dialing that back, you know, don't aim for anything. Just do what feels good for your body. If a little walk to get outside, see some sunlight helps, do that. But don't feel the need to get back to your F45 or...
No, yes.
Or there's no... Yeah, there are guidelines, but... You also have to meet your body where it's at. And just remember, there's all this energy that you're putting out. Like, we are energy mostly, or we are energy. Yeah. And you're putting all that out when you've got nothing in the tank. Yes. Like, you're just going to.
Yeah. And so the recommendations very much like are the same as what I would give most people anyway, mainly whole foods, macro balanced meals, you know, getting these in,
lots of veggies,
but yeah, lots of veggies, adding veggies, yeah. Also, the talking about the exercise, and I just had someone that's only a few weeks postpartum message me the other day asking, you know, would I do a program for them, how many extra calories do they need, all this stuff. But I, for most people anyway, especially women over 35, and you could probably answer this in relation to postpartum, perimenopause, menopause, is it the similar guidelines? Because to my knowledge, HIIT training really should be out when it comes to trying to have a healthy foundation because of the stress that it can cause on the body. I don't know if that's your point of view, but I like to like incorporate just daily movement, no rules. So walking is amazing. If they do want to, you know, I am an avid strength trainer, but and I believe in muscle mass, all of that stuff, but you don't have to be doing that. But of course, when you can, and if getting leaner is a goal, yes. But actually, when you're just trying to have healthy foundations, are these guidelines pretty generic, really? Or would you give different guidelines to a postpartum, a perimenopause, a menopausal person?
Yeah, they all have different guidelines.
Yeah.
Like, exercise isn't my speciality, but I do know the general guidelines for, and the thing is it depends, because are you, you know, what kind of perimenopause are you, like how many symptoms are you getting, what are your hormones like, what's your like nutritional status anyway, you know, where is your body, where is your mind on the spectrum, because of course, like when you think of cortisol or your stress hormones, there's recommendations for that, different recommendations from that, so you take it all into account, which is why in doubt, or if they're doing something in it, you know, and they really check in with their body and it's not really making them feel good, maybe getting someone to help with that, you know, who does know what could be going on.
I know, because you can hear, it's the same with fasting, you can hear in hormones, you can Google and find evidence for anything, right? But there is a contradiction with information, which is what confuses the hell out of women, is the different information. Fasting's really good for hormonal health, and then it's like, actually, no, fasting has its place for hormonal health. And it's the same with HIIT exercise. I've heard, you know, for hormonal health, HIIT exercise is really good. But then again, there's evidence to go, if it's raising your cortisol, it's not good. So, you know, it's so hard for the average person to try and figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is, which is like every person I see, like I do such an in-depth medical history. I spend like the first appointment and like the first appointment and beyond, like finding out what's going on for them. Like, give me a day in your life and then give me another day in your life, because it doesn't always look the same. And how are your symptoms and what's your history? What's your history? Like, your, you know, what's happened in the last couple of years or all the way back to whatever, you know, as in we take a history like then when you came out of the womb kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So to see like what's going on in your gut, because it all goes back to then, you know, and that can influence you now. I think we take for granted, like, you know, we kind of just look at ourselves in a state of time and ignore everything that's happened to us in the past, because we're kind of thought that way. But it all adds up, you know, traumas or the way, like if you yo-yo dieted in the past and you're like, oh, I eat well now, but why can't, like, it's like there may be some issues with your metabolism going on there, even though you may have got your mindset right, you know. And there's some healing to do, and that takes time. If you think about how long maybe you weren't eating optimally for your body, it can take time to get that sorted again.
Yeah, and a lot like that's undiet a lot of women. I think that's where people start to feel really good when they do ditch the diet. So this could be a good time actually to focus on when is the right time to, you know, do things for weight loss, or when's a better time to be doing things for healthy hormones, healthy gut, healthy metabolism, healthy mind. Like, and this is the hardest thing for women, I think, to get their head around, is that actually, especially again at over 35 and the changes you do go through, like, it's actually better to focus on healthy foundations than the scales, and hopefully eventually your body will actually balance out. So what do you recommend here? When is a good time to focus on weight loss or foundational health, and vice versa?
Yeah, so I think, again, diet culture, and like it's not just a culture, you know, it's an industry, you know. People do make money off shaming women's bodies, you know, as in get beach body ready, like get this supplement, do this, you know. And I think a good time to lose weight isn't dictated by the calendar year. It's not because it's summer's coming up or your school reunion or you've got a holiday, and that's probably not a good time to dictate when you should lose weight, because you're not taking into consider what's going on in your body. And the thing is, as well as like putting your health first and actually making sure everything's running optimally, weight loss is a stressor. So anything that's going wrong in your body, it's going to compound the effects of that. So not only are you like restricting your food, but also just your thoughts around dieting, like wondering, oh, should I be eating that? I should be doing this. All these shoulda, woulda, coulda, like, will I do this?
It's so confusing.
It's more stress on the body. And it just, if you've already got deranged hormones or things going on, it's going to make it worse, because you're mentally, it is a stress to constantly be thinking about what you're going to eat or to be actively dieting. And it's also a stress on the body. So really like having a think about like how you feel, and if you feel like if you've got any of those symptoms that just aren't, they're very common but they're not normal, checking it. Number one is like using your period if you are still cycling, and being like, what's going on there? Because, you know, if it's very long, if it's very heavy, if you're getting lots of pain, if you're getting lots of like acne, if you're irritable, PMS, mood swings, all those things, is that there's something going on. There's an imbalance going on. So dealing with that. If you're getting any blood sugar issues, if you're feeling on edge, irritable, you know, tired but wired at night, you know, all these symptoms that we talk about all the time, well, it's probably better to address those first than going straight in with the weight loss goals. And also, so sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes addressing those things to make your body efficient at what it's doing and replete it, and it has everything it needs, nourishing it and everything to work, sometimes the weight can start to come off anyway, yeah, without you trying. So yeah, you don't want to be, I think of people with any metabolic, like blood sugar issues or hormonal issues or gut issues, trying to lose weight sometimes, is, I like to see them as they're like trying to push like a boulder up a hill with like a vest on. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you might lose some weight and then you plateau and then you have to reduce your calories more. Yeah. And it's just like, they just feel like their body's against them. Whereas actually, if your body is all working optimally, you can produce energy well, you can store energy well, your gut's good, you're actually digesting all the things you need and getting rid of all the toxins that you don't need, because toxins are another thing that make you hang on to weight. Then it's more like kind of like just strolling up the hill, like you don't have any weight on it.
Yeah. So, because of course I have a lot of women coming to me wanting weight loss, but I always do like a phase zero, I call it, where we're building those healthy habits first, mentally, physically, and emotionally as well, like really consistent with nutrition and simple movement, and not like, takes so long. I think the longest part is the mindset work to get your head around doing it that different. But in that process, a lot of them do, just they have more energy, or like sustained energy all day. You know, they're just feeling better, they're sleeping better, they're happier in their mood. And like, that's over the years come to me, like, that's what is the best and most favorite thing about coaching women, is seeing them shift from this tired, grumpy, low confidence kind of person to actually functioning well and optimizing their body. And of course their body shape changes in the process without even focusing on it. But still, women just want to lose weight. But I also think it's a control thing and just a natural kind of default system, you know, to want to do that because of diet culture, of course. So it's so important just to get this information out there. And so definitely healthy foundations first. There was another question. Oh, supplements and hormonal support. The other thing that of course comes up is supplementation around gut health, hormonal, like goji berries, blooming, taking hormonal support from your local supermarket or somewhere. I'm a big on supplements are after the healthy foundations as well, but when, like, and that for alongside nutrition, all of that, when do you bring in supplementation for your clients? And what would you recommend for anyone listening? Like, we know to do these healthy foundations first, but when and what are a good thing for supplements? Because also there's a lot of shitty supplements out there. Where would you get yours from? All of that.
Yeah. Like you said, some more specialized supplements, especially if you haven't been had a workup by a practitioner or anything like that, there's definitely the basics, which I'll talk about. If you have had a full workup, it's obviously easy for me going through everyone's history, knowing kind of what's going on for them, especially when you look at labs and things like that.
Yeah.
You definitely recommend, and I use like practitioner grade supplements, or else just supplements that I know are known and trusted, like not the ones off the supermarket shelves, because they sometimes or all the time don't have the right dosage. Yeah. They don't have the vitamins or the minerals in the right forms to be absorbed in your body and utilized. They don't take into account people's genetics, and sometimes people have certain genes that don't function, that we need to convert a nutrient from a inactive form to an active form. And sometimes they sell these in the inactive form, and if people don't have the gene to change it, it's useless. You're basically paying and consuming something that's not very thing. So yeah, definitely I err on the side of like less supplements, but if I have more information, I can give more targeted supplements, and looking at their health history. But if you're just listening to this and you definitely know, oh, I'm not feeling amazing and I'd like to be like, what can I get right now if I am not seeing a practitioner, and I always recommend like a good quality multivitamin. A fish oils, they're anti-inflammatory. There's just so many things. They're good for your gut, they're good for your body. Most people don't get enough omega-3s, which you can get in things like salmon and sardines and things like that. So upping those in your diet, it's always like diet first. So like again, like we talked about with the diet, getting enough protein, healthy fats, veggies, omega-3s in your food. But then the good quality multi fish oils, lots of women are usually deficient in magnesium. So that's usually a safe enough one to be using as well. Especially
specific, I know these different, sorry to interrupt, there are specific, I know these different types of magnesium.
Yes.
Again, will this differ?
It really depends on the person as well and what they want to use it for. A good absorbable form is like magnesium bisglycinate, or if you should be going for at least one bowel motion a day, and using something like magnesium citrate at night can be really good for that as well. And there's like lots of other forms, like depending on people's specific symptoms, but they are kind of good ones to get. There's a good practitioner brand, and it's like TriMag. I forget the name. Oh, Designs for Health. Designs for Health.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got, so some of them have like a mix. So you're getting.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, because I always wondered about that as well. It's turning my heater off. And so any other supplements that I.
I think, that's probably enough to start with. Like, these ones are, if you're getting good quality ones, like they're not cheap. But again, just really focusing in on like the basics. And then those, and then I always have on the go, because it's really hard as women. It's so important to get enough protein. And I think maybe they become a bit like, they just see it all over Instagram or whatever about protein. But I don't think they realize, like, it's literally used for like everything in the body. And women in particular, as you get older, your muscle it makes it harder to make muscle and hold on to your muscle. So you need even more. So using a good quality like protein powder. And I just really like a collagen powder, because it's, you can mix it into anything. It's much easier. Like I'd have a protein powder either in a smoothie or on its own a day, and you can shake it up. But that's even more admin than a collagen powder, which you can like stir into your coffee, your yogurt, basically anything, because it dissolves really well.
A lot of it, they don't have flavor, do they?
I just get the unflavored one, so I can put it in anything.
What brand do you use? Because people ask that.
What brand? I had Vital Proteins one, is quite good. And I use like Dose and Co for a while. And they're just pretty, just unflavored, just normal. I don't think they have anything really added to them.
Clean, I say, with the wet asterisks, but some easy peasy ones. Awesome, we've covered so much. Just checking what else, that what would be like in general, when it comes to hormonal health, gut health, women's health in general, your like top tips or hacks or things to look for that will help all of these things or build the healthy foundation, in all of these areas, really?
Probably like stress management and mindset is so important. But when it comes to perimenopause, basically your ovaries, like a lot of the symptoms that people get in perimenopause, their hormones basically are on like a roller coaster. So that's why they get all these different symptoms. They can get symptoms of high estrogen and low estrogen in a month, in the same month. They usually, their progesterone, it starts going a bit wavy and it starts to like flatline off. And it's our ovaries pre-menopause that are making our estrogen and things like that. But basically that starts to go offline and it hands over the baton to the adrenals, which also makes your stress hormones. So if you're this is so important, even for, you know, I'm talking about perimenopause, even if you think you're not in perimenopause, getting this under control now, because we're all women and we're all going to go through it. So, you know, start making
that now. Yeah.
Because your adrenals are meant to take over that role of producing some estrogen that the body would need. If they're already in overdrive, if they're burned out, if you're burned out, if you're depleted, if you have all those symptoms of like stress hormone dysregulation, that, you know, there's nothing left. It's like, like we are not making estrogen. Like there's a lot there. Stress hormones and estrogen are made from the same raw materials. Yeah. So if there's a bit of a monopoly and they're all going towards the stress hormones, or the stress hormones are just, there's nothing, the adrenals are running out of the raw materials to make them, or they've kind of gone offline because you've been stressed for so long. Basically, what starts to take over is your fat tissue. So you will hold on to fat tissue and things like that to make estrogen, because the body thinks it's doing you a favor. It's like, oh God, we're running low here.
Oh, body.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we're running low. Oh, I know, because I can store and I can make estrogen. So yeah, let's hang on to all this like fat tissue, because it's like I'm looking out for you. I've got your back.
Yeah.
And, the woman is like, what is going on? Why is my body against me? What, it's out of control. Like, what is it doing? I'm doing everything that I did before. I'm not doing anything different, and I'm gaining all this weight in a way that's never happened before, and that leads to
and
more
the belly
stress
as well, right?
And then there's stress, and then they're doing fasting in like HIT. They're just doing all the fads and restricting their calories down, which just is more stress. Yeah. And your body's like, don't worry,
we'll add some more fat there to help. Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense when you like actually like say it like that. That's so helpful, because honestly,
one example of how
you
start to adapt. It's not doing it, you know, despite you. It's not doing it against you. It's just one.
Help.
Yeah, and then, you know, as in that's perimenopause, but with everything, with the stress hormones running, your other hormones are kind of put on the back burner. If you know, anything chronic is 3 months or more. So if you're not eating enough, if you're over exercising, if you're under eating, if you're just psychologically stressed, if you're a mom.
I was gonna say, because some people will say, well, my life's not stressful, but also there's the inner critic that is stressful, and just the other little things. Your life might not feel stressful, but also we do manage a lot. Even juggling our days, it is a stress on our body, right? Like all of that stuff, the worry, the anxiety, the worrying about getting fat, the, you know, like all of it, the negative self-talk, it all is stress. You don't have to have a big stressful thing happening for us and our bodies to be stressed, right?
They all add up. It's the mental burden of it all. And then, just so everyone knows, like restricting your food or exercising more, that is a stress then on your body. So you're just layering it. And like I said, there can be a time to lose weight. It's looking at, number one, do you have weight to lose? Because like I said, we see these pictures of, you know, the ideal body or whatever, and they're actually maybe physiologically not actually healthy. We kind of associate sometimes weight with health, and it's not always the case, because what we consider healthy, you know, and it's somebody who might actually be underweight, you know, it's just, that's just a cultural thing.
Yeah.
And if you do have weight to lose, does your body feel safe? So does it feel safe at the moment? And then looking at, like, as in if everything else is kind of running smoothly and your only issue is a bit of weight, a bit of extra weight, then you could do that in a kind of a safe and gradual way, because fast weight loss is not great either.
Yeah, so I give some recommendations for stress management if we're talking about stress, and if we have clients out there wanting to or are resonating with this, that, oh shit, this is possibly why I'm holding on to weight or feeling stressed, what do you recommend for your stress management tool or your regulation tools in general?
So as a nutritionist, obviously there's like the food piece. So there's certain like ways you can eat and manage your blood sugar. So that will cause like stress and anxiety and things like that. And the way you're maybe taking in your caffeine and things like that. And then there's certain supplements like adaptogens or anti-inflammatory or just calming things that can help your body while you deal. You cannot ignore the fact you actually have to do something about it then. Jeez. And I myself, I think everyone's different. So I definitely give them like a range of options and then ask them to kind of see. Yeah, and making sure you're getting outside, nature is really good, making sure you're seeing like the sun every day. And then there's obviously meditation, breath work, EFT. If people need therapy, sometimes, you know, they will need like a professional, somebody else, because the body holds on to trauma. Like that is like scientifically known now, that it does hold on, and it's responding. It will stay in a stress state in response to nothing that's happening in your life now, but what happened maybe years ago. So sometimes when you start to realize that, you have to go back and kind of look at those things. But just moving your body, yoga, a bath, whatever does it for you, that's relaxing.
Anything. Toolbox, I like that too, I use that a lot. And so because that's a big thing I think is avoided by a lot of people, is actually, like you say, actually doing some things that are supportive to stress management. And it's just going to be helpful in life in general. You'll cope with your life better with some of these tools. So the other thing I thought that I was just looking at, and you touched on before, was toxins and your liver and that effect on our body. Again, people dive into detoxes and all of this kind of stuff, but what for you comes up when you're talking about toxins in the body, the importance of it, and how would you navigate that?
Especially when it comes to hormones, toxins are really important. Number one, because toxins can block how we're metabolizing or getting rid of our own hormones. They can also be stored in the fat cells, and also they can act like certain hormones as well, like estrogen in your body. So it can lead to an imbalance, even though your hormones might be the right levels or even low. If these toxins are coming in and they look and kind of act like your hormones, you're going to get symptoms of things like estrogen dominance and things like that. So our bodies themselves are really good at detoxing. They do it. We sweat, we pee, we poo, we breathe, you know, this, our lymphatic system. So my approach to detoxing is just supporting what your body is already doing, and especially the liver, because that does so much, so much for us. But it's also our gut detoxes. So it's looking at all those things for a specific person about what might be the problem. But just simple things you can do is for detox is basically being aware of like your personal care products and switching to more natural products, and also not heating your food in plastic things, trying to get rid of the plastics, because they're endocrine or hormone disruptors, and really supporting your digestion, making sure that's all working well, because that's the first point of entry for these viruses or toxins and things like that. If your gut's working well, it does a lot of the work for you. And then there's things you can do to like support your liver and things like that, looking at more, because estrogen metabolism it goes through the liver. It acts like a toxin. Once we use it, we have to lose it. We're meant to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And we do that through our poo, basically. Yeah. Poop. If you're not having at least one bowel movement a day, your estrogen is getting reabsorbed into your system and acting like a toxin. So we want to be doing things to enough. We want to be eating enough fiber and relaxing and optimizing our digestion.
Yeah, so you don't necessarily need to talk external detoxes. Our body's quite good at doing it generally on its own. Yeah, cool. And that's good to know.
Sweating daily. Again.
Not talked about
sweating that much. Daily is another one, a good, just easy one.
Sorry?
Sweating daily.
Oh, sweating. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's why maybe saunas and all that are the hot thing.
Yeah, but yeah, the sauna might get also just like a hot bath or exercise.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. Do you think that we have missed anything that you really wanted to share with people today? Anything really super important?
I think I did a lot because
everything can. I always think as well when we touch on these areas, right? Like we could talk about gut health for an hour on its own, and blood sugars probably for an hour on their own, and you know, all of these things you can only touch on in one podcast, whereas they all nearly deserve their own coaching or whatever. And like you say, everyone's so different, and it's so clear that everybody's body will be working different from one another, and symptoms and working with someone actually, if you truly want to see some change, would probably be ideal instead of you guesstimating it and always referring back to some kind of diet cycle, no doubt. It blows my mind how different all of our bodies can be. And actually when we talk about all these areas, you're like finding things nearly like, oh my gosh, mine's not going, like my digestion's not well, or maybe I've got toxins, or that's why I'm holding fat, or, and it's kind of like a poo. So much easier to actually work with someone if you are truly really concerned.
Yeah, because there's like we talked about, there's the foundations, there's the basics. Them in themselves, like you could be working on them for months, and then you could still have these leftover issues that then you can address, you know. So it really is on a one-to-one, and people, they just read a blog or they read something, they're like, oh, sounds like me, and it's like just ignoring everything else going on in their body.
What have you got on offer at the moment? If anyone in the audience wants to come and check you out, what's on offer at the moment in your world?
Yeah, so I do a 3-month package with my clients, and we go through all that, like really in depth in the basics, but targeted towards them. You know, there's like optional add-ons to get hormone testing, but they can also, if they've already had tests done, they can bring them to me to like analyze. And we basically make like a nutrition, a lifestyle, a supplement plan that we usually do calls twice a month. And over that 3 months, and we can adjust and add on and things at their pace. We also check in between, because I just think that, you know, as you know, you're my business coach, and I'm like things come up in between, and you need answers to them then and there. And it's the same, you know, these 2 weeks between appointments when somebody's trying to make big changes to their diet and their life. It's all mindset, and just having that support or a sounding board to like is just invaluable, you know, having you in your back pocket to give them advice or just support along the way. And we work with, like I said, I work with people, women's hormones, and if they're having period issues or mood issues, postpartum, not feeling great, and perimenopause. But if you're a woman, I can
definitely
reach out, and you know, I will let them know. I always do a check first, make sure I like we're a good fit to work together, so that I can make sure I can help them. We look at their gut health, blood sugar, obviously hormonal, mindset, digestion,
from there, everything. And that's what I think so important, like just so important to not try and guess all the time, especially, and I keep saying this, but especially when you are over 35, because it's not, your body's not working how it used to 10 years ago, and doing the same things is keeping you stuck where you are. So I'll put your of course your Instagram and website in the notes to this podcast. But if you are on Instagram, it's at MM Health Nutrition. And the website is www.mmhealthnutrition.com. Is there any big thing or any main advice you want to leave everybody with today that you think is supportive, or the main thing you would say to a woman that's come into your space?
Yes, as regards to health and probably weight loss and things like that, I think we always kind of view our bodies as the bad, like out of control, like can't control it. What's it doing to me? It's like ruining my life. Why won't it just be what I make it to be? And I think knowing the body, knowing how much I know about the body, and there's still so much to know, like they're actually amazing and it's working so hard. I like to think of especially my adrenals, because I am definitely a person who is prone to more stress hormones and I have to do a lot for that. I like to think of the body and my adrenals and things like that as like the little engine that could, and it's just trying, and we just have to like nourish it. We need to give it what it needs at any given time, depending on time. And
give it the respect it needs.
Will work with us. Yeah, it will work with us instead of like against us. But it's just about having that education and understanding of our bodies, and we can be way more in harmony with it and not see it as the bad guy or the enemy, or blame your genes.
Exactly. I think that's so important. It is really shifting that perspective from trying to push it uphill, like you say, a boulder up a hill, and working against it, thinking it's, you punish it so much. And so shifting your perspective so that you are nourishing it and looking after it and working with it. So it's a no-brainer, really. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on here today. It's been like just so much awesome advice. I hope everyone goes and checks out your content. Michelle's content on her Instagram is absolutely amazing. So go and check it out. And you do also on your website have a quite a few different things, but a nutrition guide on there as well.
Yeah, I have to probably personalize it more to hormones, but it's definitely worthwhile. Like that is just basically the basics of eating. So.
Yes. But it's really helpful. Yeah, I did have a nosy, of course. So that's awesome. But thank you so much for being on here.
Thanks so much, Amy. Thanks for having me. Love the chat.
And that is a wrap, you guys. I hope you got some juicy goodness out of